Hello, Taylor County. I'm Alex Renneman with Unleashed Tigert, and I'm here with Randy Durrett, who's running for the Taylor County Sheriff. Randy, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
For sure. Talk a little about your background. You're no stranger to the sheriff's office. Talk about what you've been through and maybe what's motivated you to run for sheriff in this cycle.
Absolutely. Alex, I've been a lifelong resident of Taylor County. I graduated from Grafton High School, and I began my career at the Taylor County Sheriff's Office in 1989. I have 34 years of service. I started in the jail as a correctional officer, and I've worked for six previous sheriffs. I've been through the ranks as deputy sheriff, corporal, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and since 2017, I've been the chief deputy for the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. I've had multiple opportunities over the years to go to other departments, but I've always considered Taylor County home, and I sort of dedicated my life and career also to the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. I like to take all the knowledge that I've gained from the previous sheriffs I've worked for and the wisdom and put all that in use to make our county safer and to help our citizens. When I took an oath as a deputy, the main job of the deputy sheriff or sheriff is to keep the peace. And also we work for the citizens of the county. It's my job to protect the people and their property. And that's a goal I'll strive to keep to where myself and our deputies work for the people. I'm the longest serving deputy in the history of the Taylor County Sheriff's Department since it was established in 1844.
Wow.
Out of all the candidates that are running, I'm the only certified police officer currently in the state of West Virginia. I've had a lot of good experiences at the sheriff's office. I think some of the issues that are important to the county are obviously it's always been the drug issue. When I first started in the early 90s, when we're doing drug stuff, a lot of the things we dealt with would be alcohol abuse, marijuana, and also some cocaine. Now, the problems that Taylor County faces are not, or the issues we face are not just in Grafton, Flemington, and Taylor County. These are the same problems they have in every county in the United States. We transitioned from the marijuana, alcohol, and cocaine use to in the mid-90s, we started seeing the opioid crisis along with the change to the bath salts. And then we've went from those drugs to now currently fentanyl, heroin, methamphetamine, which are even more deadly. The drug trafficking is constantly changing. As long as there is the drug available, the person who wants to purchase that drug and the resources are there to financially obtain the drug, it's always going to be a constant battle. We're going to have to continue to battle this drug crisis we have. Obviously, we have a homeless issue in Taylor County. That's one thing I hear about on a daily basis, but it's multifaceted. You have an economic component, you have a drug component, and you also have a mental health component. I think what the sheriff's office needs to do is be aggressive towards arresting the drug dealers. Hopefully we'd like to see the drug dealers put in jail. Everyone who is using the drugs, you and I both know these people. Everybody, not one person in Taylor County doesn't know a person, have a friend or a relative that's addicted to drugs. So we need to enforce our laws. We need to try to rehabilitate the user and get them back out to where they're employed. We have so many grandparents now in the state of West Virginia, along with Taylor County, that are raising grandchildren because there's addictions. So I like to be aggressive towards the drugs dealing. And how I would do that is to continue to work well with our citizens, the Grafton City Police Department, the West Virginia State Police, and the federal agencies to continue attacking the drug problem. I like to see us to re-enter into some agreement to bring in a drug task force. And we're at our level, we're attacking these drug dealers and getting them off the streets. One thing is I do hear in my job is sometimes the citizens complain that they get the runaround. They'll call one department or an agency or anybody to try to get help, and then they're put on with somebody else. Everybody's complaint as a citizen when they call in is important to them. And that is we need to address that. And if I'm the sheriff, every complaint that will come in will be handled that way, to where we'll either take care of the issue for them, or let them know if they need to go to civil court, contact an attorney, or a combination thereof.
Yep, makes sense. So that's a lot there, and your history goes back. Let's talk a little bit just from your perspective then. What do you see are the responsibilities of the county sheriff, and how should voters judge the success of your tenure if you're fortunate enough to be elected?
The sheriff's job is multifaceted. The sheriff is responsible for collecting the taxes. He's in charge of securing the safety of the courthouse and obviously the road division, which is the law enforcement division of the sheriff's office. In the law enforcement division of the sheriff's office, we want to attract deputies that are going to work for the people, have good morals, and we'd eventually like to have more homegrown officers in our county. It's been very hard to get police officers throughout the state and throughout the country the last several years. We've had to raise the pay. Education and training is very important in that aspect. And we would like to see more Taylor County. It's not uncommon to see the other department's cruisers in our county. We have so many officers, like from Bridgeport, Clarksburg, other sheriff's offices, the state police live in this county. We need to attract the local people to become police officers, correctional officers, teachers, and our judges and prosecutors.
Yep, makes sense. So what actions, when we look at some things that you could do, what actions or policies would you implement if you were able to be sheriff that you think would increase the law enforcement effectiveness and community safety?
Well, we always have, on a nationwide scale, along with our community, we're always worried about active shooters and school safety. I like to work with the county commission to ensure we have a deputy sheriff and added security in all of our schools, increase the patrols for the county. You know, obviously the places such that when we have parades and so forth, or when you go to Walmart, more officer presence on patrol. In case you ever, we just recently, Memorial Day last year, had a shooting incident at the Grafton Walmart. So I like to see us to continue to build our department, have more officers and more training for the officers. I like this, have each deputy specialize in a certain type of training. As I said before, we want to have the drug task force brought back and work with other agencies. As small as counties Taylor County is, we need to be able to work well, as we have with the Grafton City Police, West Virginia State Police, West Virginia DNR, the Prosecuting Attorney's Office, to do the best job we can for the citizens. When I'm on a patrol as a deputy and I'm in someone's neighborhood, if the speed limit's 35 miles an hour, I should be doing less than that speed limit. I should be able to focus on who lives in that residence that I'm going by. They drive this type of truck. That way, if I'm out on shift and I'm like, well, I usually don't see that vehicle there, that person's house might be getting broken into. One advantage I think I have is, even though I'm the chief deputy, I'm still on the ground level every day. I'm out taking complaints, following up on cases, patrolling, serving warrants, running radar, serving civil process. I will continue to do that. Taylor County, we have right at 10 deputies right now. And if I'm elected sheriff myself, and my chief deputy would be actually on the schedule going out working shifts. Sheriff Austin has set the bar so high as a working sheriff. Over the last two administration terms with Terry, it was uncommon for him to come out, work 16, 18 hour days and be out there arresting people. And I think the people now expect the sheriff to be out on the road patrolling, writing tickets, making arrests, doing investigations. As far as we have an excellent staff at the tax office, I'd like to see us maybe be able to hire an additional person and have the tax office open on Saturdays for a limited amount of hours, so people who work during the week can come in and take care of the citizens, feels they need to come in and talk to me, be able to come in and sit down with me at the sheriff's office. We want to be proactive. And we want a community police. We want to go out to the community and see what people's needs and concerns are. A lot of people call about traffic complaints, such as speeding and so forth. We try to take care of those as good as we can. Sometimes with, you know, arrest constantly with this methamphetamine problem, And sometimes with the mental hygiene, it takes up a lot of hours and it falls on people's investigations. When that deputy gets sent out on a car wreck, for example, they might be tied up in the office for an hour just completing that report. Or if there's a break and entering, it takes a long time to interview people and to present a case that's going to be prosecutable that you can get a conviction.
Right. So in talking about some of the, so there's the initiatives, the policies you want to put in place. So it's going to be a little bit of connection issue, but I think we covered it. I think we were able to get it all, which is good. But additionally, kind of looking at the broader view, at the vision for enhancing our community safety and the Treasury side of things, what specific outcomes would you like to achieve and see that we can kind of point to through your tenure?
I'd like to see the community be safe. When I was a kid growing up, and even out in the county, people didn't lock their doors. They would leave for church, they'd go to the store, and they had enough assurance that no one was going to come in their house and break in. I think we want businesses to be able to locate to Taylor County because it's a safe environment. We want our parents of the children going to school to know when their child goes to school, there's going to be a police officer there, a security there in place, that their kid's going to be safe. And whenever you just come across anyone, you want to know there's not a chance that you're going to get carjacked or assaulted. And a lot of this all comes back to this drug component. We need to put the drug dealers in jail. We need to enforce the laws and arrest people with drugs. But then once we arrest somebody with drugs, there needs to be some follow-up to try to get them to where they can get their lives back on track. Every decision we make as a police officer, if I just pull you over and give you a warning or give you a ticket or make an arrest, I've affected your life. So I need to affect it, and I can still do my job and do it in a manner that's going to be positive. I've got people every day that come up to me and say, "Hey, Randy, you arrested me. I was in the wrong. You treated me or my family member or friend right, and I appreciate that." And that truly happens multiple times a week.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, so you talk about opportunities. We've got opportunities in our county, but we also have challenges, and we'll talk about both those. Let's start with challenges. What do you see maybe as the most significant challenge to our community? You may have already foreshadowed it with some of the discussion we've had so far. And then how might you plan to address it as sheriff?
The component that always comes up, Alex, is the drug component. The homelessness, the crisis we have in homelessness is mostly, like I said, financial. There's a mental health crisis, but ours here locally is and nationwide is drug usage. I think our biggest problem, our breaking and enterings, most people are breaking in the houses to steal stuff to buy drugs with. Your scams, where people are going out scamming money or going to people's mailboxes and taking checks and washing them and putting the process called washing and putting names on there. All this is to gain financial ability to buy the drugs. We have to try to battle this. The drug problem is constantly changing. They use different techniques. We have to adjust. Different drugs come out. We have to adjust. So we need to increase the patrols, work with the prosecutor's office and prosecutions. And a lot of us going to be working with other groups, such as our legislatures and so forth, to get the laws into place and enforce the laws that we already have to put these, you know, get the person arrested either placed in jail if they're a dealer or the other outcomes if they're the user.
Yep, makes sense. Go ahead.
I think we need to, eventually get some more deputies, increase patrols. And these higher crime areas in the county, we need to pay more attention to them.
Yeah, makes sense. But on the flip side then, so on the opportunity side, what opportunities do you see that you can take advantage of for improving community and police relations and whatnot?
One thing I've noticed, Alex, is when the first 20 years that I was a deputy, we had the Taylor County Jail. When someone would get arrested for a breaking and entering or a drug crime, most likely they were spending some time in jail, if not going to Huttonsville or Moundsville at the time. About 20 years ago, we transitioned to where all the county jails had to go to regional jails. And ours is the Tigard Valley and Elkins. Well, obviously, that's about $45 to $48 a day, so it's an economic issue. Not as many people go to jail today, and there's a lot of programs based on home confinement, community corrections, which in a lot of these cases, of course, hands are tied with sentencing guidelines. But what I've seen that's occurred is if a person would witness a crime back in the mid-90s, they would come to you and give you information because they knew they wouldn't have to see that person who committed that crime for a while because they would be in jail. Now it's a lot harder to get information from the public because if they would give a statement from somebody, you know, on somebody, they know that person's probably going to be just out picking up trash from community corrections and not actually in jail. So it's really hard to get information sometimes from the public. Most of the complaints we get are complaints about drugs, where they see somebody in their neighborhood that's wearing a backpack and on a bicycle with a machete and swinging around, and it scares them. A lot of things people don't realize too is on the homelessness issue, there's a pending case out of Grand Pass, Oregon, where that city had issued citations and made arrests to people who were homeless in the community because they were staying on public lands in tents and sleeping bags. The Ninth Federal Circuit found that unconstitutional and that was not allowed because it was cruel and unusual punishment. The Supreme Court has now decided to take up that case, and so that will determine what we can and cannot do in situations of homelessness on the public lands. A lot of times people will call in and say, hey, we'd like you to go, you know, make these people, someone, you know, that's it, but they're also a citizen and they have rights. So a lot of people, it's easy for someone to say, we're going to go do this when you can't legally do that. We have to protect them and the Constitution. They're also citizens. The situation came up also in that ruling that if you have a shelter in your community, if there were vacancies, then you can make them leave an encampment. Someone that's homeless leave an encampment. But if that vacancy, if it's full, then you cannot. So those are some common things that we deal with. And we always have to make sure, because when we take an oath as a deputy or a sheriff, we have to uphold the Constitution of the state of West Virginia and the United States and protect people and the rights. So the Eighth Amendment, which is a protection of cruel and unusual punishment, could possibly be violated if your officers aren't responding to that in the right way.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a complex field you guys are in for sure. You know, when you talk about the other piece of that is that community engagement piece and that the transparency, both on the law enforcement side and on the Treasury side, how do you plan if you're elected sheriff to engage with the community and make sure things are both, you know, engaging and feedback is there, but also transparency for what's happening from a law enforcement side and the Treasury side?
Alex, I think what we need to do is continue. We use body cameras. Our deputies use body cameras. And if they record the incidents and the interviews and their interaction with the public when we're dispatching the calls. I think it's very important that if someone comes in with a Freedom of Information, a FOIA request, we'll be glad to give them everything we can. Now, a lot of times that'll be dictated somewhat by the prosecutor's office, because if it's an active pending case,
sure,
most likely that case has to be ended before we could release that stuff. But if we have complaints on deputies or anyone in the tax office, they're going to be taken seriously and nothing's going to be covered up. We'll be investigated. One thing I've done as chief deputy is, you know, I've had to do disciplinary investigations on deputies before, and some of people have been terminated. Some have left on their own. We want the public to trust the police officers and know that the police officers are there for them and protect them and their property.
Yep, makes sense. So we're on the downslope now, Randy. Just a couple more questions. Add a little levity here. What's something that you've learned about yourself through this campaign this cycle?
I've never been out campaigning before. It's a lot of fun. You get to go meet people and talk, and it makes you feel good when someone says something nice about you. And just going door to door and talking to the people. And I've realized that a lot of these homes I'm going door to door on, I've been in these people's homes over the years on calls or helped them as a victim on something, and or seen them, and they seem very friendly. Now, some of the things I'm passionate about, Alex, I do support our veterans and our military. I support the Second Amendment. I think we need to do everything we can to make our schools safer and our community. I want to get specialized training for the deputies. I mean, I'm an animal lover. I'm an avid fisherman, but I like pets. About 90% of the houses I go to, the people either have a cat or a dog. And unfortunately, at times those animals can be abused or left outside in the wintertime, no food, water, along with our livestock. So I want to also have special training, just not for the deputies, on animal cruelty and animal welfare, but I'd like to have some deputies that are specialized in arson investigation and drug task force. And I like to acquire a drone. A drone could be used for multiple reasons. We had a guy that was fled the other night, and another agency brought a drone down. But more importantly, we have an elderly population, and as they get older, they develop dementia, Alzheimer's, or if you have a runaway, or if you would have an autistic child or person, that drone could be used, and it could see at night to go try to help recover the people. There's a lot of things that we've gained in the last 7 years at the sheriff's office. There's a lot more things that we're going to try to accomplish, and I want to have these deputies have specialized training where every deputy is capable and has a skill besides just being a patrol deputy and investigate crimes. I'll probably have a couple, if I would win the election, I'll probably have a couple deputies assigned to each. I'd break the county down into parts, and I would tell those deputies, that's just not the area they're patrol. They should know everybody in that specific area. So if I'm having a deputies meeting and there's crime, I can go to Deputy A and say, hey, you're assigned specially to that Perneytown area. Who are the people you know in that area? What can they tell you about the crime going on? I think that's one thing we need to do is more community policing. The deputies need to get out of the cruisers, walk into the housing developments, actually talk to people, and offer assistance. Ultimately, that's who we work for, is the citizen.
Makes sense.
Sometimes the deputies, unfortunately, have to make arrests, have to write citations, but we want it to be done in a professional manner and to where the person feels they were treated with respect and they're working for the people. If there are any officers that are disrespectful to the public or out of control or unsafe, they won't be working down here.
Yep, makes sense. Well, Randy, as is customary on this program, we give the candidate the last word. What is it you'd like to tell the voters of Taylor County?
Well, it's been an honor to work for you for the past 34 years. I'd like the opportunity to be your sheriff. I've worked for 6 previous sheriffs. I would like to take the knowledge and wisdom that I've learned from them and implement it to where I'm still working for you, and I'm out there actually every day in the community. And my office, you'll be able to walk into anytime you need to talk to me, and you'll see me out of patrol, and I'll be out on the ground every day fighting crime and investigating cases myself.
All right. Randy Durrett for Taylor County Sheriff. Randy, thanks for coming on the program, and good luck with the election.
Thank you, Alex.